Good morning. This morning, what I'm going to share with you today is mirror, mirror on the wall. And I think you're all familiar with that. So look at the mirror, mirror on the wall. There was, I even forget which story that was. That wasn't Cinderella. That was what?
Snow White.
Snow White. Thank you very much. The Wicked Witch or something looked in the mirror and wanted to see something. I don't know. I forget what it was. But, you know, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? You know, what are you going to see when you look in the mirror? When I look in the mirror, I see my mother. I turn to my mother. I'm getting up there. But I just wanted to ask you, what does your life look like? Now, no one has, don't answer that. Don't anyone answer that. What or who do you imitate? And I really want you to take that into consideration. And as you walk out of here today, I want you to say, who do you imitate? When you look in that mirror, so to speak, what reflection comes back? Would you see Jesus? An atheist writer, Frederick Metzke, I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, was asked what made him so negative toward Christians. I would believe in their salvation if they looked a little more like people who had been saved. If we are no different, I'm not talking about putting on airs. I'm not talking about putting out something false. I'm talking about as you live your life. If you don't look any different than an atheist or some other pagan format, what are you doing? Sitting in church is not going to make you a Christian. Any more sitting in a garage is going to make you a car.
Yeah.
You either are one or you're not. This is not going to make you one. Your relationship with God in Jesus Christ is what makes you a Christian, not just checking a box on a form somewhere. What is your life like? Take a moment. Even our young ones. Now, as I reflect on my life, it's going to take a while. As our young ones reflect on their life, it's done in a flash. You know what I'm saying? So however long it takes you, but I want you to reflect on that. We should be changing.
Mm-hmm.
The rougher portions should be sandpapered off by the things and the trials and the challenges that God allows, either orchestrates or allows in our lives. Not to crush you, but to shape and form you to look like Him,
Amen.
Not you, and your ideas, and your opinions, and your background, and all the rest of that. Now, when I ask you to think about what does your life look like, who do you mirror? Not what do you see in the mirror, but who do you mirror? You know, if you look in a mirror, and I move my hand over here, the hand moves. I mean, you know, if I look in a mirror, the mirror, who do you mirror? Who are you? What are your moves? Who's making the moves? Think about that the next time you're yelling at your wife or your kids while in a line somewhere. Think about that at a family dinner or an office party. You can put on airs for a little while, but the real you, especially under pressure or when you're challenged, is going to come forth. Think about who you're mirroring when you're screaming at someone who just took your parking spot. How about when you're driving down the road? You ever yell at anybody? I still have a lot of trials in my life sometimes in regards to, you're an idiot. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. What am I doing? Think about that the next time you surf the internet. What are you looking at? What are you allowing yourself to see and to hear? Think about who or what you're mirroring as you interact with your friends. But remember, if no one else sees you, if no one else is watching, Jesus still sees you. He knows you. And to my amazement, He still loves me. Even when I don't always do it right. He gives no excuse for my wrongdoing, but He doesn't throw me away. We need to be able to mirror that, especially in the challenges of today. Now, I'm not indicating, and God does not indicate us to throw away any kind of intelligence here. He's not saying invite ISIS in with AK-47s to sit at your table and feed them before they behead you. No. He's not talking about that. What is your interaction going to be when you come into hatred, when you come into these things, when someone attacks? They say, well, there is no God. That's stupid. You're stupid believing what you believe. What's your response going to do? What did Jesus do when they belittled him and they spit on him and they mocked him and they slapped him around? I read so many times, he spoke not a word. We always have to defend ourselves. Oh, you have to understand how true that isn't. What is going on? Who are you mirroring? Is this knee-jerk emotional human Adam nature responses? Or is this a measured holding yourself back, dying to self, come through me, God, moment? And yet some others, they think that pulling off and living away in a cave or a special place is some sign of holiness. But one of the early church writers, as I was doing some readings, he's called St. John of the Cross. I am not familiar with him or his readings in any way. But he was saying, so stop and think, and we know some people, they pulled away from all, like, from everybody. They pulled away from church. They pulled away from work. And some people have just said, oh, the Lord's coming soon. I'm not going to go out there. I'm going to stay here and read my Bible till he comes. And everything falls apart. He said, the virtuous soul that is alone is like the burning coal that is alone. It will grow colder rather than hotter. So don't have a natural response, an Adam nature response, to go away from what hurts, to go away from what's troublesome. Seek God and have his spirit come through. That way you will mirror Jesus. So, the other alternative, walling yourself off, is not good either. Mm-hmm. But I want you to take a good introspective look into yourself and not others. That's the key today. You look inside. You have that talk with Jesus. You find out from him, and not just today, not just this morning. This is all day, every day, an awareness of God. He's trying to do that. He's a spirit. We don't see him, but his power is there in us and upon us. And we can go into that spiritual realm with him. We can hear from him. We can have wisdom. We can have knowledge. We can have his forgiveness come out from us when it cannot ever come out from us as the human. But us as the submitted individual, the creation of God, giving over to his spirit. Whoa. It will change marriages. It will change businesses. It will change communities. We've not given the truth. We're being led around by the nose, like you had a ring in your nose. And it's ridiculous to come against the Christian community for standing up and just making a statement that says, God said a marriage is between a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. For the most part, 99.9% of Christians are not teaching to beat homosexuals. They're not teaching to kill homosexuals. They're not teaching to behead or torture homosexuals. They're not teaching you that you can't rent an apartment or something. But if you want me to participate in your religious ceremony regarding that, I won't do that. But you've got to work out your problem with God. Mm. You don't have to work it out with me. You have to work it out with God. But I cannot stand there and tell you that what you're doing is correct. Mm. But neither is adultery. Neither is thievery. Neither is lying. Mm. I mean, I don't want to pick out one thing above the other, and yet some things are being done to diminish the accuracy and the truth of God. Well, you can't diminish the accuracy and the truth of God. But in your mind, if all you have is information, that can change. You can be swayed one way or the other. You have Jesus Christ in your heart. I hope it never happens, but if you're going to draw and quarter me, and some of the young people don't know what that is, you know, it's a specific torture where you're killed. You know, if you're going to start cutting off my limbs bit by bit, I mean, as much as that would hurt, there's no way that there could be a denial. Deny him, I can't. Deny him, I can't. I'm dead. Deny him, I can't. He is as much of my soul and my heart and my being and my DNA as blood. Yeah. There's no separation of that. Yet if it was information in my head, it could be easily changed. Oh, I didn't think of that. Well, logic this and logic that. So if all you have is information, which unfortunately a ton of Christians just have information, they don't have transformation because he is not in their heart and in their soul. He's never been invited in. They were told going to church and tithing and doing good works and feeding the poor, that somehow cleans your slate for you. That somehow makes your good works good, so when you go to God, he's going to weigh it. You've got more good works than you have bad works, you get into the kingdom. No! You don't get into the kingdom if you're dirty. Nothing unclean can be in the presence of God. Jesus Christ is your cleansing agent. That's why his sacrifice, his death is so important.
Amen.
He took your place on that cross. It's not his words. There's a death penalty for coming against God. Separation from God is death. We were restored in Jesus Christ. So who, I mean, this is so important. Who do you mirror? Now in 1 Corinthians, remember, this is all, this is you. Don't point a finger. Don't point a finger at me, because sometimes I am not accurate in my life. So don't go saying everything, you throw away everything just because you saw me get angry, you know, in a bank line or something. Don't throw away everything that God is saying for truth based on Christians. I'm not following Christians. I am following the Christ. Get that straight. When people throw that back in your face, well, I'd be a Christian, except I don't like all the Christians. I'm not following the Christians, nor should you. You follow the Christ.
Yeah.
He is the example. He is the one we are to mirror.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 31, verse 6. This is just an example of what you're to mirror. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. I mean, that's just one example of what we're to mirror. Strong, courageous, is that you? Are you willing to take a stand for the principles of God and the teachings of Jesus Christ? Or are you quiet and silent because you don't want to offend anybody? Or you don't want to be embarrassed? I'm not talking about being overbearing, opinionated. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about taking that moment, God, please have your spirit come through me. Whatever needs to be said, let it be you and not me. Die to self so that the power of that spirit within you can come out unhindered. Are you a whiner and a complainer, approaching everything that God says with, yes, but? I deal with people like that. God says you have everything that you have need of. Yes, but this didn't happen. He didn't answer that. Well, God says you can forgive. In him you can. Yes, but I can't. The person did it really bad. Every one of us knows the yes, but people. God tells them a principle of life that you can live on, and they go, yes, but. Now, God still loves them, but they're going to have a terrible life. It's going to be full of weakness. They're going to be tossed and turned like it with every wind of doctrine. Very, very difficult existence. Are you willing to be bold and courageous and actually do what God says? Or are you just playing around? Oh, this is just a little lie. That's not a problem. Oh, I'm just stealing a little stuff. That's not a problem. Oh, it's making a little difference on my income tax. The government has more than me. They'll never know. Right. Are you going to do what God says? Jesus did. Do you mirror that? Are you patient, kind, long-suffering? I mean, we can read the whole Bible as far as the direction what God says to be. Do you mirror that? Is that what's coming out from you?
Yeah.
But understand, though, I don't want us to get into legalism here. God doesn't want to make us like some sort of perfect little robot, some perfect specimen of what he can do. His whole purpose is to make us one with him.
Yeah.
Now, some of you have seen that that video. I absolutely love it when the guy is dressed in like a royal robe and he comes out and he portrays Jesus. And there's a girl with him. And they're like together. They're doing this little dance, you know, and he's standing, you know, like behind her and she's in front. When she moves her arm, he moves. It's like they're one. It shows that they were one, and they walked, and they were like one, and every movement was one. And then the adversary comes and tries to pull her away, which he does, but Jesus protects her in the end, all this kind of stuff. Becoming one with him means where he goes, you go. What he does, you do. What he thinks you think. What he feels you feel. This is the oneness. Now, we are not all there yet, but as we die to ourselves, you do that. You'll have moments, minutes, hours of every day that you can be like that. Strive to be aware in your brain what you're doing in your soul. But it's a fight because you have to make yourself do it. The Adam nature is broken and does not want to do it. It has to be crucified, meaning you have to reject it. You can't let it rule. But the God nature can do everything God says to do. So when you're successful in something morally, when you're successful in something spiritually, when you're successful in something mentally and physically, and you've let God rule you, you can give Him all the glory. Because you deferred to Him, you gave yourself over. Everything, body, mind, and spirit, to Him. To let Him help you. So when that car accident didn't happen, the car passes right in front of you, you don't sit there going, man, my God, I have such great driving skills that I avoided that. The humble spirit is going to go, God, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for your power, your direction, your mercy on me. Because you start becoming aware of where that power comes from. You start becoming aware of who is in control of the circumstances. And He is so much better at things than we are. We think we have the plan. I have a calendar every single day. And for a long time, I'd be very frustrated. Done. I didn't get this done. I didn't get that done. I didn't get this done. And yet every day I wake up and I go, God, direct my day. And at the end of the day, I go, God, what I was really saying was, God, you did not do what I decided to do. So I had this conflict and tension. Finally, I mean, how many years does this take? Finally, I said, whoa, wait a minute. I asked you with all honesty, sincerity, and submission to guide my hands, my feet, my heart today. So if I had phone calls I didn't plan on, or hospital visits I didn't plan on, or study time I didn't plan on, or something that I didn't plan on is in there, I have to start trusting you, God,
amen,
that you really are directing my life. But I have to be aware, because the adversary also wants, you know, squirrels, he'll bring something my way, distract me. Oh. So we always have to stay in the awareness of the power of God, because you don't want the adversary to have a deception and slip in there. Oh yeah, I'm really supposed to be doing this, and I'm really supposed to be doing that. There's a little tension involved in this kind of life with the Lord. Because there's you, who is a very strong and powerful person. You have a background. You were brought up a certain way, certain ethnic, cultural, academic, skill, certificate. I mean, all sorts of things that you have and that you are. But that makes you your God. You have to be willing to put all of who you are, as good as God has gifted you, to lay it down and let God be the conductor of your life. Now, this thing about becoming one with Him, the point I want to bring up is that you will die in frustration trying to fix your broken nature. It cannot be fixed. It is broken. It doesn't think like God, feel like God, or want like God. So stop trying to train it. You have to kill it. He said to crucify the flesh. Yeah. You don't say, sit, boy, sit. That dog is not going to respond to your sit, boy, sit. Lust is going to overpower you. Greed is going to overpower you. Anger is going to overpower you. You can only hold it back so long in the natural nature. And that's not conquering it.
Amen.
That's just until it just comes stronger than what your ability is to hold it back. And every one of you know that dragon. Somebody says something, you're in a conversation with your husband, your friend, your wife, your kids, all of a sudden that thing starts coming up. Oh, God. And you better start praying that shit. That is not you, God. I know that. I'm recognizing that thing.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, I come against that. I denounce it. I reject it. I crucify it. It will not rule this action, this thought, this conversation. It's a battle. What if it comes back 10 minutes later in the conversation? 10 seconds later. You've got to fight. You have to fight. You have to die to self. Crucify the flesh. That's the only way that you can mirror Jesus.
Yeah.
So don't play the game. And that's where legalism comes in. You think you're holy. Mm-hmm. Oh, you kneel down here. You do the ablutions. You do all the little ceremonial things. I'm not coming against that. I mean, you know, Maybe that makes you feel closer to someone. Maybe God's happy. I don't know. But it has nothing to do with being holy. That only makes you feel holy. God says, I want you to be holy. The only way to be holy is for you to be dead and him to be alive in you. Not mean dead in the body. I mean dead in your control. The Adam nature not ruling. Oswald Chambers, and many of you know him, he's a writer from way back in the beginning of the, like in the 1920s or something. I didn't know him, no. And I didn't go to school with him. He's the 1920s, you know. Not that old. Oswald, what was that man? And the peanut butter gallery in the back there. Oswald Chambers writes, Christian perfection is not and never can be human perfection. Bingo. Rather, it is the perfection of a relationship with God that shows itself true in all aspects of life. That way, you are out of the equation. It's absolutely powerful. Now, in James, the first chapter, I wanted to read a little something to you in that. James, the first chapter, starting in verse 19, so powerful. This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear. This is more of what the mirroring of Jesus is. This is what we are to look like. Not as a fake thing, but because it is in your soul. It is who you are, your oneness with God. Let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I mean, right there, we could sit on that for 2 weeks and talk about that. I mean, I'm not going to. I'm just saying. Let this sink in. Go back. You have the scriptures in your hand. Go back. Don't just, oh, that was nice, and then go on to lunch. The whole idea, it's not to be holy in church. The whole idea is to teach you and give you the tools and tell you what to do so you can go out there. You're the church, not this building.
Yeah.
This is the eating place. This is where we eat of him. And not with just some ceremony. This is where you're encouraged. This is where we come before him. When we come before him first with what? With praise and with worship and with prayer. He is the center. He is the middle. He's trying to reach us. Not this rules and regulations garbage that's out there. There's so many circumstances. Look what law does. Law just creates more law. I mean, an excellent example is one of my students was throwing a ball against the wall out here. And I said, don't do that because this is the cheap covering on the wall and it'll crack off. So I turn around and I hear the ball bounce again. He didn't bounce it on the wall. He bounced it on the sidewalk so it would hit the wall. You see, so the law was don't throw the ball against the wall. Now I've got to have a second law. Don't throw the ball against the wall or the sidewalk. And if he did it in the grass to hit the sidewalk to hit the wall, I'd have to say, you see, law doesn't change your behavior.
Yeah.
It doesn't get into your heart. That's why Jesus Christ had to come. The indwelling of the power of the Spirit of God in you will allow you to obey everything that is right and righteous. When you have him ruling you, it will not come across your heart to be slapping people around. And if someone says you don't throw the ball against the wall, in all humility, you go, oh, okay, I didn't know. And you, from that point on, wouldn't do it, not because it's a rule, but because you love the Lord. So powerful. And then in verse 20, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all, look at this, filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. But I think we should give this particular sermon in Hollywood, you know? I mean, I don't know. Look what's going on. Look what the children are exposed to. But they never were when I was growing up. The books, the movies, the things on their phones and the internet. Unbelievable. God says, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. Once he's looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. You just assessed yourself. You forgot when you looked in the mirror, you saw all the warts and the dings and the cuts and the scratches and the dirt and the filth. It amazes me. God sees that in every one of us.
Yeah.
And he doesn't hold it against us. He knows that is the disability of the Adam nature. But if that's not ruling you, that's just like a wart that's going to stay here when you die, because His Spirit is what rules you. Let it rule you. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, that's that law that I was talking about with bouncing the ball, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. This is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father. And he gives a couple of examples. To visit orphans and widows in their distress. And to keep oneself unstained by the world. Whoa. That's a tall order. Unstained by the world. Is that a difficult thing to do in today's world? I would venture to say yes. And if anyone hasn't noticed that. Now in John, just a couple of scriptures and we'll be done. John 3, verse 27 and verse 34. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven.
Yeah.
And the reason I tell you that is what I've shared with you so far, it's not my opinion. It's not what I think. I'm telling you what God stirred the heart of man to write.
Yeah.
He who, meaning Jesus, for he whom God has sent speaks words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. So don't say, I can't forgive, I can't know, I don't know. Baloney! That's your Adam nature lying to you, or the world lying to you, or that old devil. Remember, there's the world, others, the flesh, you, and the devil, which is pure evil. They are alive and well, and they're going to talk to you. You need to listen to the voice of God. You need to get to know the voice of God. And you can't do that if you keep listening to the other stuff. And you have to go before Him. You need quiet time before God in this very noisy world. Pull away for a few minutes every day. Get into His Word by yourself and Him. Get into His presence. You become like what you hang around. And in John 4, verse 23 to 24, oh, but an hour is coming, and now it is.
Yeah.
When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, not in dogma and in traditional, ceremonial, whatever. For truth, for such people the Father seeks to be His worshipers.
Yeah.
He wants you to listen to Him and worship by His Spirit.
That's right.
God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. John 3, 15 through 17 and verse 21. That whoever, this is powerful. You've all heard this many times. That whoever believes may in Him have eternal life, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Not him who names Him, or who thinks about Him, or he says, yeah, He's nice, He's in a list with all the other prophets. No, the one who believes in Jesus Christ will have eternal life.
Yeah.
For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world. He's not that judge up there ready to squash you the minute you do something wrong. That is a perspective man has erroneously come up with. The God I serve is a God of love and grace and mercy.
Yeah.
But He's no fool.
Amen.
He is perfectly just. There is no excuse for your sin and wrongdoing, but He will not throw you away. He will give you a chance. He didn't come to judge, but the world will be saved through Him. Are you judging people still? You're putting yourself above Jesus? Are you angry or disappointed when they don't meet your measure? We all do that.
Mm.
We got to knock that off. That is not mirroring Jesus. Are you quick to forgive and move on, leaving all the details to God? Fine line here. I'm not saying you give excuse to what they're doing if it indeed is wrong, but if it's only wrong by your standards, poo-poo. Doesn't make any difference. God, this is wrong what someone's doing. Show me what I must do. Not,
then you hurt me. You said that you really hurt me.
We've all been through it. But we have to stop because we cannot function. We cannot have some response that's going to be holy and godly and wise and right and convicting if we're going, man, you made me so sad today. It's true. So what do you see when you look in the mirror? May we truly understand the only way to live is to die to self.
Mm-hmm.
It's those wonderful upside down world of God. In order to get, you got to give. In order to live, you got to die. It's absolutely wonderful. You try and figure that out with your broken thinker, you'll never get there. So when you let His light shine, go ahead, look in the mirror. when his light's shining, you will see Jesus.
Yeah.
God bless you.